from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
A fact, and it's not just head coaches. They also have the opportunity to do like defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator, or special team. The team gets to pick, and I think there are rules where it's like each coach only has to do it once per network. It's really
deep.
But you might be getting special teams coordinators at halftime giving interviews on camera to Tracy Wolf.
We're gonna have Bones Fossil on the side.
We're gonna get Bones Fossil, Bubba Ventrone. Wow. You're gonna get all of them, but
yeah.
There has to be at least one per game from each team, a coach or a coordinator interviewing with the sideline reporter.
Peter Schrager from yesterday. All right, let's share a dilemma I had yesterday. We're waiting for Bobby Babbage. We have a few minutes to have a little fun here, all right?
Okay.
Josh, I want you on this as well, if you wouldn't mind. So yesterday, leaving camp, I stopped at a local place that might sell prepared sandwiches.
Okay.
Schmeckman's, if you will.
Okay.
And I routine for me would be like a turkey and a provolone.
Yep. Safe? That's a safe pick.
Yeah, turkey, provolone sandwich. I don't want to wait.
No one in the world dislikes turkey and provolone.
I don't want to wait in the full line. I just want to get it and get out and go.
Okay.
I grabbed it. Get in the car. Yeah, I'm going to eat it and drive. I open up the sub. I don't take a bite. I actually lift it because I'm going to put the mustard on it because the mustard comes on the side.
Right.
Open it up, and that is not turkey. That is tuna in provolone.
Mmm.
Ooh.
And that's very different.
Right. Very different. And I might not be like many others in this department. For me, that's an instant. No, I'm not going to eat that. I'm not going to eat that.
You won't touch it?
No. I'm not going to eat that.
What's wrong with tuna?
Nothing's necessarily wrong with tuna fish. I'm not against tuna fish sandwiches. I can confidently say that never in my entire life have I eaten a prepared tuna fish sandwich not prepared at my own home by me or someone in my – I will not eat a tuna sandwich from a sub place, from a cafeteria. It's never going to happen in my entire life. I'll not do it. Fundamentally against it. If you are scooping tuna out with an ice cream scoop, I'm not going to eat it.
Well, that's how they do it. But you didn't see that.
No, but doesn't matter. I know how they did that. I'm not going to eat.
You know for sure. I mean, how different is that than a fork?
It doesn't even matter if they put it on with gold-plated spoons. I'm not eating a prepared tuna fish sandwich. So I'm left with a dilemma. Here's a sandwich. I'm not going to eat it. I can't return it.
You could.
They don't want it back.
I can't
offer it to somebody, stranger in the parking lot.
You think the kid that's working at Schmeckman's is going to be offended if you return a tuna fish sandwich?
I bought the wrong sandwich. He's like, well, you can't return food, sir.
You can return food. I had friends that used to work at another grocery store, and they've told tales of customers returning food.
Like eating
Half-eaten food.
Half-eaten pizza.
But if
half-eaten
it's open, food. You can't return it, right? Like,
yeah, it was
I feel
open.
Like that's not cool.
It was open, but was it clear? It must have been clear that the item itself had not been.
Sure, but I broke the seal.
You broke the seal, but they're not. Even if you return it,
doesn't
and
matter.
It's sealed, they're not going to put it back out.
How do they know I'm not some demented person?
I think you could have done an exchange.
I'm just some person that's going to poison somebody.
I think no, they would have. They still would have thrown it out. I think they still would have thrown it out, but they would have given you the exchange. Like, oh yeah, go ahead, or here, I'll go get it for you. I bet that's what they would have done. Like, test it. Maybe today I'll try it.
Buy the wrong
just
thing.
Just to know.
Well, how
just
about this?
Just to know for the future.
My advice to you would be buy something you like and try to return it to test it. Otherwise, you're stuck with the thing you don't like.
Because if they tell me no,
yeah,
then I'll just stand there and eat it in front of them.
So I just
oh, yeah?
I dumped that thing, and I got another one.
Is it just so you'll eat tuna at home
yes.
if you prepare it?
Yeah.
What about if your wife prepares it?
Sure, fine.
Okay.
Or like at the house, yes. I'm not
homemade tuna. You're in
a vat of tuna fish for a sandwich. I'm never gonna eat that. Ever.
I don't know how often this would come up, but what if you are at someone else's house, they're preparing lunch, and it's tuna? Are you doing it then?
Do I have any
this
other?
You're a guest.
Do I have any other options?
Yeah, but it's egg salad.
Oh, I'm not eating. Jeff writes in, was it labeled wrong and I grabbed the wrong one? I grabbed the wrong one. It was adjacent to, there were rows of sandwiches, and I went for a seeded bun rather than an unseeded bun. And in doing so, I went from one row to the next, and I jumped from turkey to tuna.
So really, right. Your problem is that they're too close together. You would like them to space it out. Maybe tuna should have its own rack.
I have no problem with anybody. I made the mistake. It's yeah. my own oversight.
So you just went back in. You tossed it.
I tossed it.
You didn't like say to anybody on the way out, like, hey, do you want a free tuna sub?
No,
free
I feel like that would be psycho behavior. Like, hey, here's a tuna
there's
sub.
A guy
yeah,
in the
sure.
There's a guy in
sure
the front
thing,
of the store
buddy. Yeah.
who's trying to give away a tuna wrap.
Alex,
I will do that, by the way. I will get the tuna at the same location, but it will only be like in the sub line. Like them preparing it, you walk down the line, I'm watching you make it, I'm getting it myself. It's a bigger wrap, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, yeah.
I usually go for the spinach wrap. Like, I want it customized myself. I want to watch you do it. They do use the ice cream scoop, though. I don't care. Whatever. It's going to end up in the same shape in the wrap anyway. Yeah. Who cares how it went in the first place?
It's not the scoop that's the problem. It's the vat that's the problem. I don't want that mass-produced vat of anything.
It's all coming from the same place. Yeah. It's all coming from the cans, right?
Not doing it.
They just opened the can before you saw it.
You think they opened like seven little tiny cans and put it in a... What are you, crazy?
Where else does it come from?
Larger cans.
You think they got trucks full of tuna fish that are being delivered on the daily?
Yes. Kyle writes in, you can return it. Something gets returned, seal opened or not, it gets thrown away. Anyways, you can still return the sandwich. Yeah. Fair. This is great. We're getting people.
Alexis just tweeted in. Yeah. Was working at a Schmops customer service desk. I had someone return a Stouffer's lasagna that they cooked, ate half of, then put back in the box and said it was too salty. See, this is what I'm talking about. I had a couple of friends yeah. in like high school, college that worked at a grocery store, and these were the stories I had heard. I've heard many stories of this lasagna. Cooked, put back in the box, and then tried to return it.
Then I'm just
which is crazy.
I'm exploiting the return-based system that leads to higher prices.
But you're not doing like this is an understandable. In fact,
it was my
I would say this is as understandable as a food return gets.
Yeah, I got the wrong one
at the grocery store. Like you are not that customer service person is probably going to watch you walk up and go, oh. Here comes a food return. I wonder what we're going to get here.
Yep.
Just terrified of what's about to happen. And then you walk up with, oh, I just grabbed the wrong one. They're like, oh, thank goodness. Go ahead. You're good.
Yep.
Like you are in no way disturbing this person or offending this person doing the return at all.
All right. Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go back today and say, yesterday I bought a sandwich, and then I threw it out, and I'd like my money. Would that work? No? Not quite.
Maybe. I don't know.
All right. We're here at Bills training camp. Waiting for Bobby Babich, Bills defensive coordinator. Bobby Babich will be joining us. I did take a moment in the break to it's Bobby Babich's birthday.
Oh, thank you, Sal, with that heads up. Sal looking out for us.
I d-
Before we get He's over at Joe Brady's talking to in about 10 minutes.
All right, we'll have that for you at some point. Maybe we'll carry an extra point show. On Bobby Babbage, no, before Bobby Babbage, I did take it upon myself in the break after talking to Joe Marino there about Tyrell Shavers, how he went to Bama, and he chose Bama over LSU and A&M. I thought to look up Tyrell Shavers' high school highlights.
Wow.
Let's see what he did.
You are going deep into the Tyrell Shavers Listen, profile here. I learned from Joe. I didn't know that he – what did he say? All-time leader
punt blocks?
At San Diego State in punt blocks? Or did he say in college ever at punt blocks? I'll have to find that. I mean, throw him on punt block. Why not? Have him do it all. That is interesting what Joe said, too, about five receivers last year. That I did not remember. They kept five. Remember, though, they would promote Andy Isabella very often throughout the year. So maybe part of the equation at receiver will come down to, hey, who can we get onto the practice squad that we can then call up a couple of times throughout the year? And I don't know, you know, how many other teams around the league are paying this much attention to Tyrell Shavers. Maybe they would because he's getting some first-team reps. You know, my guess would be if the Bills wanted him around and playing some this year, you could get him on the practice squad, call him up a few times throughout the year. But if he's getting first-team reps, I mean, I don't know. Is he competing for a starting job or at least part of the rotation? Because if he's part of the rotation on offense, to me, he's on the team.
Tyrell Shavers went to Louisville High School,
okay,
home of the Fighting Farmers.
The Fighting Farmers?
The Fighting Farmers, and their mascot is Big John.
Big John, the Fighting Farmer?
It's a farmer on a horse with a pitchfork.
That sounds amazing.
Yep, the Fighting Farmers.
That sounds awesome.
Louisville High School Fighting Farmers. Okay, so Bobby Babbage. Happy birthday, Bobby Babbage. Today he turns 41.
41
is one of his first gifts. He'll join us. You know what I like to do when somebody I find out somebody's birthday, Joe? Let's find out birthday buddies.
Birthday buddies.
Who else is born on this day? We can tell Bobby Babbage. I'm sure he'll be very excited to find out.
If there's a good one.
Well, there's always at least one good one. Although, if you look nowadays, listen to me saying nowadays, get older every day. If you look now, you'll find that half the celebrities listed as born on that day are TikTok stars. I'm like, I don't know who these people are.
Right. No, me too. Shavers, by the way, here it is.
Elton Brown. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Wow, all right, there you go. It's a big one.
Yep.
Tyrell Shavers, by the way, three blocked punts, all returned for touchdowns in his career. At college, of course.
Get him on the punt block team.
Yeah. 6'6", that's what he's listed at in college. He might be, is he 6'6"? You've seen him out there.
He's pretty big. We mentioned earlier my reviews of most of the players at training camp. That guy's big.
The Bills list him at 6'4". So okay. San Diego State was giving him an extra... couple there. Also, number 80 is a good receiver.
It is a very good receiver number.
80, and 80, what's the last Bills 80 at receiver that was good? Molds, right? Has it been since Molds?
Who else has worn 80 for the Bills? That's a good question. All right, who wore 80 for the Bills? Most recent to wear, lately it's been a lot of teens. Yep. Last guy to wear 80 for
way
the
back
Bills.
When is Jerry Butler, of course. Sal loves his Jerry Butler. All right. Number 80, Derek Jameson Crowder.
That's right.
That was the name you were looking for.
He didn't have much time, so
he was the he would have been the most recent. Yep.
Yeah. All right. Well, Bobby Babbage, Bills defensive coordinator, sitting down with us. First off, happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday.
We found out it's your birthday.
It is.
41?
It is. I am 41 years old. And that is 41 years old. Every year I get past 40, it gets a little bit harder to do the things I want to do physically. So, no, it's got a lot of texts, a lot of love from the players, so I appreciate it.
Thank what are you doing physically? Hobbies like you just running, doing whatever?
I like to stay in shape, work out, try to get something in before every practice. We have a long transition period after our team meeting going into practice. So, like to try to, burn some calories there and stay on top of it because the season's long.
Yeah, it is one of the things that every year we come to camp, I've been coming to camp for like 20 years now, one of the things I always see is someone's out here running these fields at 5 a.m. or 4 a.m.
That's right.
Your days are packed, and imagine you're trying to find any time you can.
That's right. I'm not an early guy. Never been when I played in college. I sucked at the early morning lifts and workouts. I need to wait a little bit. I need my body to get going. And but, no, it's great. It's great. The transition period allows me to get out here and get moving and really kind of – you know, get my heart going before practice, which is good.
Watching practices out here, I find myself feeling for the defense because, you know, you're practicing, you're doing your stuff, and yesterday pads are on. I feel like defensive players are more excited the pads are on because you guys, you're playing half of your job. You want to be physical. You want to do a lot of things out there. The offense is celebrating every touchdown, and I'm over here thinking the defense has to be, like, stewing inside. You know, we'd love to blow some of this up if we could.
Yes. Yes, I think there's always, you know, I mean, these are the most competitive people in the world that we deal with, especially your guys that are, you know, true pros. A lot of reasons they're true pros is because they're competitive spirit. And, you know, does it agitate me sometimes when we got a free runner and or we win a rush and the play continues? And, yes, it agitates me. But I know there's things that we need to do defensively. We need all the work we can get. And, you know, I was just thinking about it the other day. We have the opportunity to go against Josh Allen. That's who we're going against in camp every day. And there's a lot of great quarterbacks in this league, and we all know he's one of them. So we are getting tested in the right way on a day-in and day-out basis, which is building that callus for us defensively. You know, and there's a lot of things, you know, we're throwing a lot at our players. So it's not going to be 100% perfect all the time, and that's why we practice. That's why coaches have jobs.
Bobby Babich with us sitting down here at training camp. In terms of your coaching style, like you're pretty fiery out there, right? Like is that kind of always been the way you've coached these guys, even as a positional coach? And I guess has anything changed for you in the way you coach the guys on the field now that you're a coordinator?
So I would say yes, that's how it is, and I guess that's how it's always been, and I don't really notice it. It's just how I do it, and again, I'm very, very lucky to be in the position I'm at, so I'm not going to take that for granted. Maybe there are days where I do, but I quickly try to snap myself out of that and try to be as have an attitude of gratitude, and, you know, I am very – I say a lot of people say they love this game. I'm passionate about this game. It's been my whole life. Created a lot of opportunities for me, for my family. And, you know, I owe the game more than the game owes me. So I think that's just how I go about it on a day-in, day-out basis. I'd say the biggest thing for me, and one of the hardest things as an adjustment is, like, you know, for instance, I've coached the linebackers the last time I was a position coach, and, you know, I don't know, there's 7 or 8 guys in that room. It's easier to pay attention to your guys. There's only 8 of them, but now I don't even know our roster number, whatever, you have 40, whatever we're at. And I've got to make sure I'm pouring into each one of those. So, you know, finding that time to pour into each one of those guys and give them a little feedback here, give them positive feedback, give them constructive criticism, and making sure I'm doing it for everybody, you know, and that's probably been the biggest challenge of, you know, my head trying to figure out, my head spinning a little bit of, okay, I need to talk to these guys today. I need to talk to these guys today. So,
as a former position coach, like in that spot, are you able to see how other defensive coordinators did it as like a way to realize whatever people coming before you about how to dip into each room like that?
Yeah, and I think yeah. So Sean told me a long time ago when I first got in the league, and I was young and I was lucky. And he talked to me a lot about, you know, I was in an entry-level position, about professional development, not just, you know, I'm a DB guy by heart. That's who I am. That's what I played. That's, you know, and then he came to me at an early age and just talked about professional development. And if you really want to be a coordinator, you got to – maybe you don't have to master the defensive line per se, the furthest away from the DBs, but you've got to know enough – to know what it looks like. So I spent a lot of time, I took that to heart, I spent a lot of time meeting with other people, paying attention to coaches we've had here in the past, everywhere I've been along the way, different ways to do things, different ways a lot of us learn, I wouldn't do that, I would do that, you know, and things you wouldn't do sometimes are a bigger part of that growth in that development of yourself, and that's okay. It doesn't make it right the way you, but there's a certain way you got to go about things. So, you know, it just opening yourself up and not having the blinders on, I think, is a big deal.
One thing, you know, you see you go against Josh Allen every day. The receivers you guys are going against every day as a DB coach, this group, one of the things we kind of watched the offseason play out, we thought they're getting big out there.
Yeah.
A lot of big receivers.
Yeah.
In terms of a physical style of game, I'd imagine that presents maybe a welcome challenge for your defensive backs. It's going to be a physical style of football.
That's right. That's right. And that's what Sean wants. And that's what we've wanted since – and not that we haven't had it, but that's what we've wanted the whole time we've been here, you know. And, you know, it's tough. You know, speed is an element, right, in the NFL when you're trying to cover speed. Obviously, we have some speed we got to cover in the AFC East. And when – it's a different animal when you deal with big and strong. It's a different animal. I'll never forget, you know, I was back in Carolina and we're playing against the Falcons, and it was when Tony Gonzalez was there. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, I don't know what team that was, maybe a second team. But
maybe
he was
Atlanta?
Getting, yeah.
Yeah,
Atlanta.
Yeah.
Yes. And I was at Carolina, and, like, he couldn't run anymore. But if he got you on his back, you weren't breaking the ball up. Because he was so big and so strong. And that was my first realization of, like, you know, you're coming from college football where it's speed, 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 speed. Well, then you go against Tony Gonzalez and you're like, we're going to be on him. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of us getting in the position to defend him. You know, so that creates its own challenge. That creates its own challenge. Not to take away the speed of our wide receivers, because there's plenty. But, and you know, Adam and Joe have done a great job with those guys, you know, and it's fun to go against every day. It's a challenge for us, and you know, it's just going to help us going into the season.
Yeah, you mentioned that you're a DB guy, and kind of on this point, like when we watch Rasul Douglas out there, like he for a corner, like he's long. I don't like he's not big like a Tony Gonzalez, like a tight end,
yeah.
But he's long, and him coming in midway through last year. I don't know, was it surprising he was able to make that much of an impact, not even being through a camp and a season? And I guess going into this year, like, he's a veteran, but that whole idea that you're talking about with physical players on the other side of the ball, like, how much does he provide given that he's a bigger corner?
The number one thing I'll say about Rasul is a true professional veteran. Like, he can see the game. He can see things that other people can't see. He can do things that other people can't do. Sometimes we've got to pull the leash on him a little bit, you know, but he's calculated in what he does, and we know that. He is a bigger, longer guy. And I'd say this, I wasn't surprised, because I do truly believe this. If you're an interceptor in this league, you're an interceptor. If you take the ball away, you take the ball away. That's what you do. We've seen that over years with some of the players we've had here. And, you know, there was no doubt that he was going to get his hands on balls. And I had a sneaky suspicion, even coaching the linebackers, that he was going to create some balls going the other way and take it away from the offense. So, I think where we're at now is this training camp. He's really getting into, and I think he was quoted as saying he just listened to Jordan Micah, and they told him what to do, because it is a challenge coming in the middle of the season. But he's just trying to fine-tune those small details, and maybe he's ahead of the game as far as this scheme checks within what we're doing, so he doesn't have to rely on the guy behind him.
We saw a play yesterday, speaking of guys that get their hands on the ball and intercepted, Kair. He physical, hands-on, and then he just rips the ball away from Justin Shorter.
Yeah.
And, like, there's a guy that has had a little bit of trouble getting in the lineup consistently, but when he does, he's making plays. Where do you see Kair Elam's game right now at this point in his career?
Here was the biggest thing with Kair. Kair's a great human. He's a great human, which is, as we talk about here all the time, that's the first thing that we look for in players. Look, I talked to the defense about this as us as a whole. Like, our past success, our past failures have no indication of what the Bills defense version in volume 2024 is going to do. And that goes the same to the individual, right? Your past failures, your scars sometimes are the best teachers. I tell the defense all the time, like, success is a terrible teacher. It's terrible. The best thing you could, failure is the best teacher. That, and I'm not saying there was failure with him. I'm not saying, but if there's anything in his mind or things we've addressed with him where he needs to improve, he's definitely attacking those day in and day out. And like we ask all our players, in one of the, you know, we're big on process here, and part of the process is going, you know, day by day. Hour, I say this all the time, hour by hour, minute. You can't get too far ahead. You can't get too far behind. So he's doing a great job of that. And he's coming to work every day where he mentally is in the right place.
You mentioned, so you were the linebackers coach the last 2 years before this season. And Terrell Bernard, statistically, big breakout, and he gets a chance to play. How different, not even say one's better than the other, but is it true that Edmonds the year before versus Bernard last year, you got results from both players, but how different are they really, I guess, playing the same position?
I don't know. I think every player's different. I think every player's different. And Tremaine, you know, will be a lifelong relationship with him, and he's a heck of a player. Terrell had a heck of a season last year. And just like I just said, the past success maybe that we believe Terrell had is no indicator on this year. The best thing I can say is this. They are both extreme professionals. They both are leaders. They both care mostly about not letting their teammates down. You know, so everybody's a different player. You know, you can look at different positions throughout our team. Our starting left defensive end or whoever goes out with the ones is different than the right defensive end. There's all different little nuances and things there. You know, and sometimes it's putting yourself in position. We talk about always just put yourself in position. When the opportunities come, it's your job to take advantage of those opportunities. And that's what we continue to do, you know, and Terrell's done a good job of that thus far. Seen some growth out of him. He's just got to continue to go through his process and take it day by day.
On your defensive line, Greg Rousseau, big year for him coming?
I hope Greg has a big day today.
That's right. I'm sorry. You just said hour by hour. So
I hope Greg's doing the heck of a job getting warmed up before practice.
Sure.
You know, and that's you can't do that. You can have personal goals.
Yeah.
You know, you can have team goals. You can have all that, but there's a short-term vision and a long-term goal, right? So I hope his vision today is based off our emphasis. It's third and long today. I hope. In his mind right now, he's mentally preparing, he's getting ready, he's warming up, he's getting ready to handle today to the best of his ability. That's all. And then once we get to tomorrow, which is the day off, hopefully he's getting the rest he needs in a playoff-caliber way that Sean talks about and all those type of things. So, you know, Greg is coming to work every day in a way that I can see the goals that he has for himself.
Yeah, maybe the better way to ask is the days that have led to this day, how much have you seen him round out his game, complete things, fill in gaps as a person, as a player?
Very conscientious. Coaches have jobs because you're going to identify areas of improvement for players, and we're constantly there to remind them. So he is showing those areas that we pinpointed for him, he is showing progress. But every once in a while, every player is going to, you know, fall back into some of the things that we said we got to improve on. And that's why it's great that we have an opportunity to be coaches, because that's what we're doing. I mean, you know, I once was told that the word coach came from, you know, way back and, you know, when it was coach wagons, get you from point A to point B, and that's our job. You know, so our job is to get him from point A to point B. He's completely conscious of that, conscientious, let me say that, and couldn't be happier with Greg right now.
On Cole Bishop at safety, we've seen him make some plays out there. Obviously, Mike Edwards right now dealing with the injury. For Bishop, how challenging is that position for a rookie right away? Like, it's been mostly, you know, other than injury, it's been mostly Hyde and Poyer for so long that, you know, I'm sure they're the benefits of having those two. You just mentioned Douglas, how it would have been easier for him with those two back there. I guess just really in general, for Bishop at safety, how challenging is it for a player year one to come in and play that position?
And I would say the thing you hit on the head, I wouldn't even say rookie. I'd say year one veteran, because we just had so much of our safeties. you know, we ask a lot of, to be honest with you, we ask a lot of our linebackers, including Taren, because he's dang near a linebacker, and that level of communication, and then our safeties. And for any year one player, it's a challenge, you know, but we continue to push them. I'm extremely hard on that position. Constantly, I'm hard on them because I want to create that anxiety and that sense of urgency early, you know. But as the reps, and I'll say this, Cole's done a good job as the reps have gone on of getting better and better each day. So it's always a challenge, and you know we continue to push those guys. And Joe Dana does a great job. Al, Scott Booker with the nickels, they do a great job of echoing those type of things and demanding those type of things.
Bobby Babich, happy birthday. We'll let you get to practice.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thanks
Appreciate
so much for
you
the
guys.
Time. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And,
thanks,
Bobby.
Thank you.
Good luck today. Bobby Babich, Bills defensive coordinator, joining us here from St. John Fisher. We'll get a break in. We got Joe Brady. We can play a little bit of that or hand that off to the Extra Point Show. Joe Brady meeting with the media moments ago. Sean McDermott down here talking to some other media as camp rolls on. Day six. They're off tomorrow. Day off tomorrow.
Day off tomorrow.
We're back in studio.
The studio.
Josh hasn't even recognized me. Wow. Josh hasn't seen me in a month plus.
Yeah.
Because I came back and I came right to camp.
You should come in tomorrow with, like, no beard and a completely different hairstyle.
Never again?
My wife hasn't seen me without a beard.
Wow.
My kids haven't seen me. I would ruin my life. My dog would attack me.
You'll never shave it?
I don't know about never, but the idea of just doing it for fun, no.
When's the last time you shaved it? When's the last time you were clean shaven?
2010.
Okay.
I mean, that's a guess. 8?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I'll get bored sometimes and just do it.
Yeah. No, not me. I got to hide this face. Face made for radio. Face made for a beard. Cover that thing. I wear beard and a hat.
Beard and a hat.
You'll never see me without
them. That's the look. Yeah.
Okay.
Unless it's a wedding. And then even then, maybe. I don't know. I've got some Tyrell Shavers-inspired trivia to get to before we're done here.
Okay, Tyrell Shavers-inspired trivia. I'm excited for it. Next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, let's some instant trivia in here. We have practice starting in a couple minutes.
Before that, we do have the Bills adding a safety. Kareem Jackson signs a one-year deal with the Bills. And
Kareem Jackson is a name. He's the guy. Yeah. Okay. This is the guy that everyone was calling for to be like banned last year because he couldn't stop getting suspended.
Oh.
Remember he kept hitting people in the head?
Well, now he's on the Bills.
He has started 193 games in his career.
All right.
Last year.
He is 36.
Yeah, 36. 8 starts for Denver last year. This is a veteran safety. I mean, he played in 2010. All right, Kareem Jackson.
Kareem Jackson in, and the guy that is cut, Shane Simon.
Okay.
That name ring a bell?
Should it?
Yeah.
No.
Last week, Wednesday, we tracked him as the first player on the field.
Right.
The first player on the field.
Oh, no. Oh, is this going to be a curse?
I don't know. First
player on the field
Shane
curse?
Shane Simon cut Kareem Jackson in to help buffer the Mike Edwards injury. All right. Now.
Interesting. Okay.
I'm ready for that trivia.
All right. Tyrell Shavers, been getting some first-team reps. Your favorite player, number 80, and an undrafted free agent last year out of both Alabama and San Diego State.
Alabama, there was a stop in between, too.
Okay, so a bunch of different schools.
I just had it. Which one was it?
The other one is
Mississippi State. Yep, okay.
It's a long college career. All right. Let's see what he does. How many Bills have 80-plus catches undrafted only?
Undrafted free agents with 80 career catches?
Career catches for the Bills had to be undrafted.
Fred Jackson.
These are all since 2000, by the way.
Fred Jackson.
Fred Jackson is the all-time leader in this category with 322 receptions.
David Nelson.
David Nelson is third with 94
How many are there?
Receptions. There are five.
Undrafted.
Five with 80-plus catches.
How many are running backs?
You got the only one.
Okay.
The next running back on this list is Shaud Williams with 20.
Yeah. All right, so I've got the first two. I got one and three.
One and three.
Undrafted free agent.
Yep.
We just went through. I said David Nelson, right?
You said David Nelson. 94 from 2010 to 2012.
Naaman Roosevelt didn't get to 80.
He did not. He only got to 25, including one long touchdown against the New York Giants.
What was the career number for Fred?
322. I will tell you, there's only one other player above 100.
Okay. I was going to say, like, in my head, I'm like, Cole Beasley wasn't undrafted.
Yes, he was.
He was.
Cole Beasley, 233 is okay. Number two.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
Cole Beasley. See, that's one of those don't guess it, but guess it and sound like you got it right.
Because I might give it to you anyway.
Yes, I'm a veteran.
Now you get credit for it.
A veteran move right there.
Yeah.
Two more undrafted receivers with 80 career catches for the Bills since 2000.
Yep.
All right, spinning through here. Robert Foster?
Robert Foster only got to 30.
Yeah, that makes sense. I should have said it's not.
Seemed like it would have been higher.
Not really. He played 1 year and he caught one really big catch. We all thought he'd come back and he disappeared off the face of the earth.
Yep.
Is there a tight end in here?
There is not a tight end in here. The first name outside the list is a tight end, Mark Campbell. He only had 70.
Okay. Former Buck?
Mark Campbell?
I think so. Maybe it's Dave Moore.
Mark Campbell. Cleveland, Bills, New Orleans.
Okay.
For Mark Campbell.
Another receiver, undrafted, 80 catches for his career with the Bills.
Yep.
Give me a year.
You're in the last decade for both. Nah, no, one's just outside the last decade. Drought. We're talking drought Bills here.
Yeah, drought Bills.
Second half of the drought,
so, like,
even, I'll give you.
Like Bobby Shaw.
Nah, Bobby Shaw. What a name. Didn't he have a year where he had, like, 10 touchdowns?
I don't know. Who, like, who's a receiver on the team when T.O. is here?
I think Bobby Shaw was a sixth-round pick. That's not a bad guess because he would have been 61 catches for the Bills.
All right.
So he would have just
knocking missed. On the door of both.
He had 4 touchdowns, by the way, so he definitely did not have 10. Who'd you just guess? You have another name there?
No.
What hints could I give you? Do you want hints?
Sure.
Both of these players, I'm just confirming in the second one. I'm pretty sure this is true, the second one. No, he didn't. Okay. All right. One of these Bills played for another team in the AFC East. In fact,
Chris Hogan?
Chris Hogan, who played for actually two other teams in the AFC East.
Yeah.
Chris Hogan, 87 catches for the Bills, including that crazy one against Minnesota from Kyle Orton. Okay. And then you're missing number five with 82 catches between 2010 and 2012. He did not play for another team.
2010 to 2012. Who's coaching then? Is that
Chan Gailey?
Chan Gailey, the Misfits.
He started 22 games and had a career 887 yards and six touchdowns. What would be his most memorable touchdown?
Kamar Aiken.
No, that's a good name, though. That's a training camp hero right there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Kamar Aiken.
Special teams guy, too, yeah.
Yeah.
Not Marcus Easley. He's a fourth-round pick, I think.
No, not Marcus Easley.
And he never caught balls.
Did this guy ever have
Marcus Easley
touchdown?
Had one of the best catches I've ever seen at training camp. You know what he did? What did
he do?
He caught a toe-tapping touchdown in the corner deep, went touch, tap, tap, and then there was a laundry cart there, and he immediately sprung over it.
Wow.
It's really impressive.
Get him in the Olympics. Marcus Easley was on the Bills.
Like for 10 years.
For 6 years?
Yeah.
Yeah. But he didn't play in any of in his first two.
Yeah, he had.
Did he play three games in his first 3 years?
A heart issue and a.
Okay.
He had a million things he battled. He was around for a while.
He caught. You know what's funny about Marcus Easley? He's a wide receiver. You go to his Pro Football Reference page, the first. You know how you go to Pro Football Reference page and you go down and write what's the right there for you?
Yeah.
Receptions, receiving yards, and touchdowns.
It's his tackles.
It's defense and fumbles.
Yeah.
His is tackles, yeah. He caught three passes for the Bills in 6 years.
Yeah. All right.
Including the one touchdown.
What's the next hint?
He also worked in the media.
Donald Jones.
82 catches for the Bills.
Yep.
Just missing Jeremy McDaniel.
Yep.
Robert Foster, Deontay Thompson, Andre Holmes, Jason Kroom, Jonathan Stupar, and Pat DeMarco. That's not just missing. Pat DeMarco had 15.
Yeah.
So he was very far off.
I have a statement.
Oh, okay.
Pommel horse is the most badass event in the Olympics.
More than breaking?
Yep. Pommel horse.
Pommel horse.
Pommel horse. Doesn't get cooler than that. Not the vault one. Well, you vault off the pommel horse.
Yeah.
The actual spinning around, that's the coolest thing in the Olympics.
That's the coolest thing
yep.
in the Olympics? More cooler than
Team USA had that guy that sleeps. He's asleep the whole event.
Was he sleeping? I heard he was
and
meditating.
They're like, yo, Nick, it's pommel horse time. And he does it, and they win a medal. Pommel horse, it doesn't get cooler than that.
Was he sleeping or was he meditating?
You know what? If you were sleeping, you would just say you were meditating. And someone's like, hey, oh, sorry. I was deeply in there.
Yes.
I was practicing mindfulness with my eyes closed in REM sleep. That's how deep I was meditating. Hamstring injury for Ty Johnson.
Okay. Yep, that seems right. It seems like that's what he was grabbing immediately upon going down.
Yep.
Kareem Jackson, by the way, wore 27 for the Bills.
Too soon.
Too soon?
They waited for Trey White to say that Bills fans would cheer for him if he picked up Josh Allen. And they're like, all right, we're giving away 27.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Break time, Extendo Sports coming up, and then the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Just remembering and searching through Twitter, I had remembered this but had forgotten.
On new Bill safety, Kareem Jackson.
Yeah, Kareem Jackson. There were calls for him to be banned from the league last year.
Don't talk about our player that way.
He
I'm getting his jersey.
In his first six games last year, he was fined in all six of them for unnecessary roughness and suspended in two of them.
Listen, Sean McDermott likes consistency, right?
You know what? You know what this probably is? Not even probably. This guy, I mean, he played in the NFL in 2010. He played college football in 2006. This dude grew up with a very different set of rules. And he's just like, you know what? I am just going to be me until the end. Well, they stopped calling. After the first 6 weeks, they stopped calling the penalties.
I'm just head on a swivel out there. Bills players today at practice.
Well, he's not going to be in town today, is he? Maybe.
He's on the field right now.
Is he really?
I saw pictures. He's out there right now.
All right, Kareem Jackson. Welcome to town.
Yeah, he is what we would call a headhunter, I believe.
All right. So, what else? Aaron Rodgers says he'd like to have two great years.
I'm sure he'd love to do that. What are the odds? What are the odds he's their quarterback 1 year from today?
I would say I would think it should be a favorite.
But not a heavy favorite?
Yeah.
All right. When's USA basketball next in action? Is that today?
They play South Sudan today. They go 29.5-point favorites.
Tomorrow at 3.
Tomorrow, okay.
Tomorrow at 3 o'clock against South Sudan. Has there ever been a revenge game when you won the first game?
It is kind of wild that they beat South Sudan by a point.
Yeah.
And the spread is 30.
The spread is 30, right? It's a revenge game for a team that won.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like it before.
Is Jason Tatum going to get in? He didn't play a minute of the previous game.
He did not get in. You know what's amazing? The hot take factory revolving around the Boston Celtics right now. Have you ever seen in passing how, like, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, like, oh, they've been doubted too much?
Yeah.
You know, what is fueling that right now? On OC, these two aren't actually that good as superstars. Team USA left Jaylen Brown home and has benched Jason Tatum while they're playing two other Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
Jrue Holiday and Derek White have been playing over the two superstars that they have. 13 teams in 13 days. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. The Bears play on Thursday.
That's exciting. Hopefully, on the one hand, if Caleb Williams plays, that'd be great to watch.
Yep.
On the other, it'd be better if he played more against the Bills. Adunze, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen. I am buying the Bears. I don't love their coach, but I am buying the Bears. They also spent a truckload of money in free agency, right? Like, shouldn't they just be normal instead of the Bears?
They also, remember, they had the first overall pick because they had the Panthers pick. They weren't the worst team in football last year. I'm not saying they were good. They were not good either. But what was their record? Did they win 7 games last year? 6 games last year? I've got to find the answer to that. Last year, the Bears' record was 7-10.
No.
They weren't a 2-win team that picked first. They were a 7-win team that picked first, then added Keenan Allen, probably improved greatly at quarterback, I think. So I'm buying the Bears, too. Like, I think they'll sneak in. I would bet them to sneak in as a playoff team this year. I've never been interested in the Bears like I am this season. Their coach also has a $400 hairdryer, Matt Eberflus.
I didn't know they made hair dryers like that.
Yeah.
Is it one of the ones you sit in? you sit in a chair and they put the thing on top of your head?
The giant things that, like, lower on top of your head?
Yeah.
No, it's like a circle with no fan on it, and it just blows right through. I only know that because we have it.
Oh, you have a $400 hair dryer.
We did not spend $400 on it.
Friday foursome with Encore Golf, Labatt, and WGR. Every Friday, we announce a lucky winner who will get to experience the excitement of playing one of Western New York's finest golf courses, Seneca Hickory Stick, Lockport Country Club, Diamond Hawk, Clover Bank. Plus, you'll receive a box of Encore golf balls, a $25 gift certificate to Encore Golf, and 1 year basic membership to Club Encore. Enter WGR550.com for your chance to win. Brought to you by Labatt, Pristine Refreshing Pilsner. Please enjoy responsibly, and Encore Golf, you just became a better golfer. Must be 21 plus to enter. We're back in studio tomorrow. The Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show is coming up.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
What?
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.